Job chapter 30. Job struggles with the issue of unanswered prayer. He says, I cry to you, and you do not answer me. And he said the same in Job 19, verse 7, that he's cried out for justice and he's not been heard. There's nothing wrong with crying out to God in distress. And yet we all struggle with this issue of unanswered prayer. Now, of course, there is a difference between God hearing prayer and God answering prayer. And the question, of course, is when and how will the prayer be answered? And I think that it is appreciating that our ideas are so limited by the immediate that is in front of us that we are going to inevitably, I suppose, struggle with this issue of when and how will prayer be answered. The essence of prayer is, I suppose, all going to be answered when Jesus comes back. But there's another perspective on this issue of unanswered prayer, and it's this, that the structure of the book of Job is such that there are these various speeches by the friends and Job, and then God speaks, and he uses the natural creation in order to comment upon some of the issues. And it is that usage of the natural creation which I think converts Job to understand. And we also can look at the natural creation under the guidance of God's word in order to get some perspective on life. Well, when he says here, I cry to you and you do not answer, the very same words are used in Job 38 verse 41 about the young ravens crying out to God for food and yet they are not always heard. But the whole argument there in Job 38 is that God, in the wider picture, sustains all of creation, including the ravens, by his grace. So that is one way to deal with this issue of unanswered prayer, is to see that, okay, this specific request at this specific time has not been answered, and yet, that is only one part of the wider picture of God's dealings with us. We are still sustained by grace in hope of the final restoration of all things when Jesus returns. This is not to say that unanswered prayer is not a cause for struggle. And it is some comfort, I think, to understand that the Lord Jesus died on the cross at the very end of his hours of agony there with this very struggle. My God, why or how have you forsaken me? Now, all the way through the Old Testament, God does not forsake the righteous, but he does forsake those who are unrighteous. And yet Jesus was perfect. And yet he was so identified with us that he feels that he is being treated like those who are forsaken by God. Now, he did cry out for deliverance. This was the whole struggle of Gethsemane. The sweat that appeared as drops of blood was all, I suppose, partly related to this issue of him asking for the cup to pass from him, and clearly it didn't. And when he says, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, we are wise, I think, to imagine long gaps between those words. Not my will, there may be a very long gap, but your will be done. I mean, the period in which he prayed that was long enough for the disciples to go to sleep in. So if they were the only words he prayed, and I'm sure they may not necessarily have been the only words he prayed at that time, but they would have taken some time for him to pray those words. And so the struggle of unanswered prayer is in fact a bridge between him there and you and me in our lives, in our prayer lives today. Pray on your knees. I really urge you to do that. And as you pray on your knees, your prayer merges, as David's prayers do in the Psalms, into meditation and reflection. And yes, you will struggle with this whole issue of unanswered prayer. But as I say, in the wider picture, the young ravens cry out to God for food and aren't always heard. Job 38, 41, just like Job says, I cry to you and you don't answer me. And yet, the lesson of Job 38 is that God, in the wider picture, sustains the ravens, sustains all of creation by his grace. One theme also of the book of Job is that there is an end to darkness. The strange statements that are made sometimes that there is an end to darkness. Well, how in a physical sense, you know, does darkness have an end? Well, yeah, this is the whole thing, that God has said to the sea, which was understood as a mysterious source of evil, with evil monsters swimming around in it, God has said to the sea, you can come so far, but no further. He has set limits to the sea, and the idea is that he has also set limits, invisible limits, to our experience of evil. Even with Job, it was for a specific period of time, and then he was restored. And ultimately, that restoration for all of us is at the restoration of all things when the Lord Jesus returns. And so, I'm just trying to comfort us. Like you, I also struggle with unanswered prayer. And it is not necessarily a sign that God is mad with you. It is not necessarily a sign that you are out of sync with God or out of step with God. It's simply one of those things which is part of our current experience. And yet, as I say, the comfort that he's given, God's response to this, is not to say, yeah, well, I'll answer you later. And his response is not that, well, I'll answer you when Jesus comes back, or you were asking for the wrong thing. It is that you cry out and you're not answered. True. The young ravens cry to God for food and aren't always answered, but in the wider picture, the grace of God is still there and sustains all of creation.